The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
It is the big question from Genesis chapter 6. Did fallen angels procreate with women? What actually happened in Genesis 6 that precipitated the flood? Who are the Nephilim, and what are demons? Well, thank you for joining us today, friend. This is Grace in Focus, and we are coming to you from the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website is faithalone.org, and we also have a YouTube channel. It's YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. There we release short videos a couple of times a week with information and teaching along the lines of our purpose and our free grace position. So YouTube Grace Evangelical Society, love to see you there. And our website again is faithalone.org. Now, with today's topic, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
We're continuing to talk about the study of angels, angelology, very interesting stuff. And before we get into Genesis 6 and the sons of God, let's say a brief word about how many angels are there. Are there 100? Are there 1,000? How many angels are there, do we think?
Well, not give any specific number, but
maybe we are.
For example, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, we read, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." So here, this is the number of the angels, you know, confirmed in holiness that are here, all assembled worshiping around the throne of God. And so we have 10,000 times 10,000.
Well, yeah. In fact, in Greek, my understanding is that the largest number you would have in Greek is this word myriades, which we get the word myriad from, or myriads. It's essentially 10,000. So if this is 10,000s of 10,000s, that would be 100 million. Didn't Jesus say he could have called for how many legions of angels?
Yeah, I think he said I could have called upon 12 legions of angels.
And a legion was somewhere between like 3 and 6,000?
Right. A Roman legion was around 3 to 6,000.
So that'd be 36 to 72,000 angels at the minimum. So there's at least, say, 36,000 angels, but they're probably are millions of angels, right?
Even in that passage in Revelation 5:11, it goes on to say then myriads and myriads beyond myriads times myriads.
Right.
So I would think there are certainly hundreds of millions, perhaps billions.
Right.
Because when we come to, well, the rapture of the church and then the resurrection, you know, of Old Testament believers and tribulation believers, we're talking about billions of believers. So I would imagine there are going to be equal numbers or perhaps even greater number of angels, you know, as well.
Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 6, and let's take a look there, because before the flood, there's an event that precipitates the need for the flood. And that event is where the sons of God intermarry with the daughters of men. And the question is, who are the sons of God and who are the daughters of men? Now, there are different views, but could you read the passage and then tell us what you think?
Sure. This would be Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 4. "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown." And of course, in mythology, you know, we have counts of demigods, Hercules, and others. Even now, there's this fascination of super beings that we have, whether it's Superman coming from the planet of Krypton, or whether it's the
Avengers, Spider-Man, Batman, werewolves, the vampires, the Thor, and the whole Thor series.
Yes.
And that's Norse mythology, and you've got Greek mythology. But all of that may have some sort of original basis in fact.
Yes, and connection of somehow interaction between gods and people and having progenies, you know, if that. Because there was a whole series of movies about a vampire, you know, marrying a young woman and then having a special child. So I think that carries back, you know, to the possible origin of super beings in Genesis chapter 6.
Right. And we'll talk for a minute because they're called Nephilim, right?
Their offspring
are called giants or Nephilim. And we're going to talk about that more in a minute. But let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter 2, Peter appears to be talking about this because Peter says in verse 4, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell," and the word here is Tartarus. He's confining them in a place called Tartarus.
That's a separate place from Hades,
right,
or Sheol.
"And delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Well, we know that not all angels are currently in chains and being reserved for judgment, right?
Right.
And remember that when Jesus is casting out the Gadarene demoniac, he said, "Have you come to torment us before the time?"
Yeah.
They know that there are certain currently fallen angels being held, and they don't want to join them. But notice it says, "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly." Peter seems to be connecting the angels who sinned with Noah.
Yes.
Not only that, but this doesn't appear to refer to the original fall of angels. This is a second sinning.
Yes.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically, or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
There are other views, by the way, of Genesis 6. Some people say this refers to the godly line and the ungodly line.
The descendants of Cain and then of Seth.
Yeah.
And another view, it's just fallen angels, but in essence were possessing, you know, certain great kings, but they weren't actually propagating.
But yeah, and that's partly because some people think they didn't really have bodies, but that's not correct. And it seems pretty clear from 2 Peter chapter 2 that this is the case. Now, let's talk about the Nephilim before the flood, because that Hebrew word Nephilim also occurs after the flood.
Right.
So before the flood, who are the Nephilim?
Well, the Nephilim, before the flood, I think, is what Genesis 6, 1 through 4 is speaking about. So there was a group of angels, the sons of God,
right,
who transgressed their boundary and took on beautiful women as wives and had offspring that are called Nephilim, but who were extraordinary.
I mean, we could translate that something like giants.
Yes. Later on, especially references post-flood, I think just a general term for giant, that Nephilim is being used in that sense. But in Genesis 6, the indication, I think, is these were actually offspring of angels and daughters of man.
Okay, so we probably shouldn't be thinking these are 50-foot-tall humans, but the Nephilim after the flood, like Goliath, is either around 9'9" or around 6'9". There are some different manuscripts, so it could have been as tall as almost 10 feet, but clearly huge. Goliath was probably well over 300 pounds and extremely strong.
And he had brothers. And one of his brothers had these strange things of having 6 fingers and 6 toes.
Right.
So this talking about a genetic anomaly.
There's different views, but it would probably be fair to say all of the offspring of the giants died in the flood. So that any Nephilim after the flood is just using that word to refer to giants. It's no longer saying giants who were the offspring of the sons of God and the daughters of men.
Right. It's not likely that there was a third fall of angels, right, you know, post-flood. I think after Genesis 6, God wouldn't allow it.
So that's not going to happen anymore.
And that was part of the reason for the flood, the wickedness that filled the earth, partly as a reason of this transgression that occurred.
Well, the other thing is these fallen angels probably thought they could do this with immunity. And when they end up being cast into Tartarus and being held for the lake of fire, all the other fallen angels would be like, whoa, we don't want to go there. So you've got a situation that ultimately led to God destroying all of mankind except for eight people, and all the animals except for the animals that were on the ark are the ones that could survive, in the water.
Yes, that brings up the matter then of that category of demons that are spoken of.
Okay, so we're going to get on this more in the next episode, but what then are demons? Some people say demons are just another name for fallen angels, but isn't it possible that the demons are the offspring, they're the Nephilim, the offspring of fallen angels and women who died in the flood and are now disembodied spirits?
Yes, that is one view, and I think it can be supported. Several accounts that we have of demons in the Gospels, certainly in their interaction with Jesus and with the apostles. And, you know, when it talks about they're in waterless places, but they're seeking embodiment.
Okay, you know. Now you're whetting my appetite with the waterless places. And they're seeking bodies to possess and things. So next time we'll talk more about demons and this whole question. Ultimately, this is part of the world that God has created. Now, he didn't want the angels to fall, but in our current existence, they're part of our world. Of course, once we're on the new earth, the fallen angels will be removed to the lake of fire, and we're not going to have any interaction with them. But for now, we fight against forces of darkness.
Right, in Ephesians 6, you know, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities and the rulers in high places.
All right, well, very good. And in the meantime, let's all
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Thank you so much for joining us this week. On our next episode, we continue our angel series. We hope you have a great weekend, fellowship with other believers in a Bible teaching church, and let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.